papermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test.
The Media Project is a half hour of commentary and analysis where we try to give you some insight into the pressures that surround the goal of giving people true information. I'm Rex Smith, your host from the Upstate American, formerly editor of the Times Union, here with my colleagues. Let me introduce you around the table in the studio. Right here next to me is Judy Patrick, formerly editor of the Daily Gazette, now vice president for editorial development of the New York Press Association. Judith?
New year, new insights.
Oh, good. That's the promise. We'll see. Old dogs, new tricks, with all due respect.
Oh.
Barbara Lombardo, formerly executive editor of the Saratogian and the Record of Troy, now teaching at UAlbany. How are you, Barbara? That's a new dog.
Ready to learn some new tricks.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I thought you were making fun of my name. This happens when your name is Rex.
Rex.
Yes, it. And Ira Fussfeld, publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman of Kingston, New York, and its affiliated publications. Sir.
Thank you very much. May I be the first to wish everybody a Happy New Year? Well, maybe I'm not the first to
probably
wish
not the first, no.
You were the first to think of it on this panel, there so we congratulations.
Go. This is our
same to you.
First show of the new year, yes. And, you know, when I think about it, I've been a part of this program for decades, three of them, I think. And we have constantly over the years tracked changes, so many changes that it's hard to believe. And we will continue to do that as the year goes along. And I just want to start this year off by citing one that I think will speak to all of us who are formerly ink-stained wretches, and that is the end of the Associated Press in Vermont. That is the last reporter in the state of Vermont working for the Associated Press is leaving her job, and that is really the end of an era. You know, you can
that's
always
I think that's startling. Those of us who buy the Associated Press, and by us, I mean virtually every newspaper in the country and many broadcast outlets, rely on the Associated Press and pay for its ubiquitous coverage, and to not have anybody in one of the states of the union, just startled. What do they tell their customers?
It's hard to imagine. At one time, Vermont had 9 reporters, 2 photographers, and 1 other staffer at the end of the 90s and the early part of this century, and so down to the last. It's amazing.
Yeah, they're compensating with a regional approach where they'll send somebody in if something big is happening, but that's not how real reporting works. And I agree with you, Ira. I mean, we counted on the Associated Press to be pervasive, to be everywhere. I mean, certainly they're not going to be in every small town, but the idea that they were covering state government in Vermont and there when big news happens was important to their member papers, their member media organizations.
Well, we rely, I mean, in Kingston, Albany is 50 miles from Kingston, but we don't send a reporter to Albany. We rely on the State House coverage of the Associated Press, and you it's what you're paying for.
And the thought that that is no longer going to be possible in Vermont, a small state that has lost a lot of its media coverage anyway. A May study released in May from the University of Vermont found that there are 75% fewer working journalists in Vermont now than there were 2 decades ago. A story that can be repeated all over the place, right?
Right. I found it very disconcerting. Vermont is a small place. And for us sitting here, we're thinking about what's of interest in Vermont news. And what really interests us is the broader picture of what's happening in Vermont that is of interest to the capital region and to the nation. And so I think we're thinking mostly state house type issues. And I'm not sure who's going to be covering that. There's a really good outlet called 7 Days.
Vermont. There is Vermont Digger, which is also a strong not-for-profit newsroom.
Right. And I don't know whether those are attempting to fill that gap, which possibly they could do, but it's hard to believe.
And of course, here, Northeast Public Radio, WAMC, has a reporter who covers Vermont as part of her beat. But that's a state. And there is another half of a state that she's covering in upstate New York. And same thing is true of Vermont Public public radio. There are other outlets. There is the Burlington Free Press, but that has been so diminished. I mean, it's a story that we all are confronting. It isn't that there is less news. It's that there are fewer people available to cover it.
Right. You can swoop in for a big story, for example. If there's major floodings in northern Vermont, yeah, you swoop in, but you're missing all the other news. You're missing some of the innovative legislation that may have come out of the Vermont State House. And this also talks about the future of the Associated Press as well.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Well, the AP took a huge blow last year when the largest newspaper chain in the country, Gannett, which is now actually even bigger than it was when, Barbara, you were the editor of a Gannett paper, now Gannett affiliated with Gatehouse. Gannett and Gatehouse together decided to cancel their contract with the AP. And that's a huge revenue stream for news organization when you lose 200 plus newsrooms. And now Gannett and Gatehouse are just about to announce a new deal as we sit here with Reuters, the international news service, to take Reuters content through those newsrooms. But yeah, the AP just doesn't have the revenue that it used to have.
Well, it's all going to be a business decision, right? And Gannett and Gatehouse, I mean, they had to admit that they don't have enough coverage on their own to exist without an AP or a Reuters to cover the types of things that they have. A lot of newspapers, but they're not covering a broad swath of news.
Right.
So whether it's Reuters or AP, I'm not as concerned so long as there is good coverage. But I'm not sure there will be.
Right. All of this speaks, though, to the loss of that local coverage. You know, it's fine to bring in Reuters for the world and the national news, which Gannett, a.k.a. the USA Today network, can provide. But you still are losing that essential local coverage that from your local newspapers, when they get picked up and distributed via the AP wire to everybody else. How many times have we seen that happen over our careers when a story in Schenectady, for example, Judy, would be broken by the Gazette, and then the Associated Press would pick it up and attribute it, hopefully, to your reporters?
Right. All news starts at the local level. And when you don't have that local news being reported, there are stories we are missing that we don't, I mean, you can't prove a negative, and that's what will happen when you're not getting that local news. I mean, any story that you're seeing amplified on CNN or on any of the cable news stations has started out local.
So. Forgive me for poking my head into this broadcast. I'm just sitting over here in the studio monitoring your levels. Your producer, David Gustina. But when it comes to broadcast AP, it's so important to mention that the local feeding of the AP, it used to be that we could search every morning the New York Associated Press Minute, the Massachusetts Press Minute, the Vermont. Every state had stories coming from their AP. And so every morning we had this regional news that came in the form of AP copy. That is all gone.
Mm-hmm.
The AP now may swoop in on a major event in a state, and you might get some copy on that. But we have lost everyday regional copy off the AP wire. And at the same time, this fee for service, the Associated Press, has raised their prices and offered less when we should be getting more.
Hmm. Thank you. Yeah. This is like what they call the VOG, the voice of God, you know, and the producer steps in.
Signing off.
A significant problem for radio. I did a little bit of a radio gig early in my life, but I did rip and read radio, as it was called. You just literally rip off the Associated Press wire and sit in front of a microphone and read it. I was very impressed with myself. But it was nothing at all that I was responsible for, but the AP entirely was.
And so are there stories out there that the AP is in danger, not just in cutting down, but going away?
I haven't heard that. The AP is a cooperative. Yeah, owned by the member newspapers,
right,
mostly still. So I don't think that it's necessarily going to go away, but boy, it is already a shadow of its former self. It's hard to imagine what you're going to do about that.
Well, the Associated Press was trying for a long time to add revenue stream potential by having companies be customers of theirs. I'm not sure how well that is working out.
Commercial companies.
Commercial companies.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not providing content they're interested in.
You know, I must say the AP does continue to be a very valuable source of breaking news from around the world. Often when I am trying to verify what I've seen on social media, I will go to the AP website and say, oh, if AP's got it, then I'm far more confident this is really news.
So, that is a great point.
Yeah.
Because they still have standards requiring that you know what you're talking about. I'm reminded of the importance of this, actually, by the incident in New Orleans on New Year's Day. Fox News reported erroneously that the truck that had been used in that attack on party revelers after 3 a.m., that truck had come across the U.S. border 2 days earlier in Eagle Pass, Texas. That prompted Donald Trump, whose source of information is frequently Fox News, almost exclusively perhaps, prompted him to attack the Biden administration to say we need to close down the border. This is another example of attacks. Well, it turned out this was not true. And while Fox News corrected it a couple of hours later when it found out that its information was wrong, Donald Trump, of course, has never corrected his feed or apologized. And many people, I'm sure, still believe what he posted on his Truth Social network. So this is just another example of what they used to say about money. Bad money drives out good. Bad journalism can drive out the good. And we need to be grateful for those legitimate news organizations like the Associated Press that have kept their standards while others, such as Fox News, have abandoned theirs, if they ever had them.
You know, watching the development of the stories on New Year's Day was fascinating to me because I was on social media, but I was also on the major news websites to see who was reporting what when. And what I found was that the mainstream news media, they were very careful to report information only when they had verified it. But there was a lot of unverified information out there. Some of it was right, but some of it proved to be incorrect. And so it made me value that much more the process by which we double-check information, we go to official sources, and make sure that what we're putting out there for the public to consume is actually true.
That's been the case, you know, since the internet really emerged, where you would suddenly find information that's out there, and there would be the, you know, the controversy in the newsroom. Well, you know, that name is already out there. Everybody knows what that name is. Well, not everybody does, but if the name, for example, of somebody who is a crime victim is available online, and yet publishing that name doesn't meet your newsroom standards, what do you do? Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, do you go ahead and use it? Or do you say, no, that's not something that we're going to be a part of? And I think that the internet has just made those decisions all the more vital and important for legitimate news organizations to contend with constantly.
Well, it's made it a more timely decision, but it has always been an important decision. And I think maybe it was the Times. What do we know about the people who have been killed? And they really only had three or four, the last that I had looked, three or four of the victims, some explanation about who they were, maybe quotes from family members. So they didn't try to just throw people's names out there without having it confirmed.
Right. That's a different matter, though. We've probably all been in a situation where you have a crime or an accident and you know who the victim is and the police aren't releasing it because they haven't reached all the family members. Deadline is approaching. The press is going to roll. Are you going to use the name, for example, or are you going to wait until the police officially release it? Those are individual decisions that thoughtful editors and producers have to make, and they aren't automatic, and they tend to be idiosyncratic. They are unique to each individual circumstance, I think.
It depends, right?
It depends, like a lot of news judgment. You know, it depends. And I think a lot of news consumers don't understand how much care goes into some of those decisions. They're not casually made. They may be incorrectly made, but the decisions in a good newsroom are not casually made. At Fox News, we have just had an example. I doubt that that decision to report that the truck came across the border 2 days earlier, I doubt that that was a thoughtful decision. I think that was probably, let's go with it. That fits our narrative, which is what everything that drives Fox News is, whether it supports the right-wing narrative that is behind all of their coverage.
Right. And again, this information is out there, even though Fox isn't reporting this anymore. I've heard right-wing Republicans, they may not say specifically that this truck came across the Mexican border 2 days ago, but they will be blaming this on the Biden administration and their approach to immigration. So the die was cast, and for another metaphor, the waters are turning on this one. It's politicized. And again, once something is out there, it is really hard to correct it. That's why we're really careful when we first put it out.
We should be. We should be. But it does actually also speak to this other trend that we've spoken of some here, which a new poll underscores, the exhaustion of the American public with media coverage. A new survey from, yes, we're just saying the Associated Press and NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, which is at Syracuse University. A new study says that about two-thirds of American adults say they have recently felt the need to limit media consumption about politics and government because of overload. And I don't know how you get around that, because you don't just stop covering it, do you? If you're a a news organization, you don't just say, well, people are tired of it, I guess we should do less.
Well, you could start by not having, as I saw on one of the cable channels, a story about who the Democratic presidential contenders are going to be in 28. I mean, the need to fill time and space is such that politics is an easy area to delve into and find stories and speculate about, but it drives many of your readers and listeners crazy to have this go, wait a minute, we just went through an election for the last 4 years. We're going to have another one 4 years ahead. Those kinds of things are easily dismissible and make people, I think, frankly, angry at us. And I use the word us broadly.
I don't know what to do about it, though. I have a guy who wrote to me and said, why are you people on the left so fixated on Trump? What we need to hear is a good, positive message from what you liberals want. Instead, you're constantly focused on Trump. The answer to that is he's the president-elect, right?
Yes, I think.
He is the newsmaker.
We're damned if we do and damned if we don't. You can't ignore what's going to happen in our country. But I'm sharing that news overload fatigue or discouragement, whatever. And what Ira alluded to was correct about the 24 hours of news when there really isn't 24 hours worth of news. So you're listening to the same stuff over and over if you get sucked into keep checking and keep checking and keep checking. I'd love to see more of the cable news stations focusing on, you know, in this hour we're going to be talking about this issue or that issue, and that there's opportunities to listen to those at other times.
They do that, they invite their listeners to turn a channel.
Yeah, you know, politics coverage, I think, is cheap. Easy.
It's very easy politics.
Easy to write, easy to produce, easy to keep ginning up the interest in it. But I do think that their government coverage could be fascinating. What are these different agencies doing? What are their proposals? Like, we would write stories about new rest stops. People would be really interested in those kinds of things. So I think there are stories out there, but they are harder to do, more expensive to produce. So
yes, there are barriers, and politics is so easy because you have politicians constantly wanting to get their name out there and get themselves in front of the TV cameras, and so it is a ready source.
Right, but we're not reporting news when we're doing that. We're just filling space.
Exactly. Just being a conduit.
I remember when I switched from sports to the news side, and somebody asked me how I adjusted, and I said it was just like covering sports, covering politics, except that the principals had not just come out of the shower. Other than that, you had winners, you had losers, you had liars, you had truth tellers, and you had people who didn't think we did a good job.
Yeah, except most of political coverage is not as well written as the sports coverage.
No, that's right, absolutely.
So if you're just joining us, this is the Media Project from Northeast Public Radio. You can share your thoughts with us, media@wamc.org, and we are very happy to hear from you always. That was Ira Fussfeld. You're just hearing Barbara Lombardo is here, Judy Patrick, and I'm Rex Smith. We thank you for joining us. You know, the thing is, there are also just a lot of stories that reflect the reality of this still politically divided country. And you can't avoid it. A Colorado man tackled and strangled a television news reporter, saying to him, "This is Trump's America now. This is Trump's America now." The reporter is named Jaron Alex. He believes that he was targeted by this guy because he's a Pacific Islander. That is, his complexion is different, and he is a TV reporter. And so this Trump supporter attacked him. Now, the problem with a story like that is that if you give it too much air, it sends a message that there's more of it going on than there may well be. It's an isolated incident in one small community in Colorado, in Grand Junction. On the other hand, you can't ignore it, right? This is, again, a tough news judgment to make.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. One of the extraordinary aspects of this story was the fact that the reporter was followed in his car for more than 40 miles by this angry person who challenged his right to be in this country. And I think that made it news. You do worry that it's the start of a trend. Let's hope it's not. I mean, reporters have long been hassled when they're out doing their jobs. But it has increased, I would think, in the last 10 or 15 years. The respect people have for the press has diminished. And I lay that the responsibility for that firmly at the feet of the incoming president.
Yeah, he certainly has done everything
he can.
Well,
but also you have the facilities are there, meaning that if you want to watch your news, you turn on the channel that you know is going to agree with you. And there are so many of those channels and so many of these niche areas to go to, it makes it very hard for those of us who have prided ourselves on trying to be neutral and comprehensive and accurate. And people doubt that. They don't think we're that way because we're not favoring one side or the other.
That is problematic when there are, as you say, outlets that favor one side or the other. One example of this that is kind of sticking in the craw here, Barbara drew to our attention the fact that some local hotels, as well as those around the country, are now making available in their lobby for guests the Epoch Times, which is a notably right-wing operation.
Although someone on one of the comment sites said, well, the Wall Street Journal is right-wing. This is
no.
A conspiratorial
not to say.
Rag.
Yeah, exactly.
That it's beyond right-wing, that it's not to be trusted. I remember seeing it online. Somehow it would show up in my news feeds, and it was like, oh, this is a worrisome site. And then I just happened to see it in the lobby of a local hotel, and it's like, what the heck is this doing here? Then obsessively started Googling about it, and that it's showing up in the lobbies, not just of one particular chain, but and not just locally, but around the country.
I'm wondering if they're giving it to the hotels. I'm trying to remember when I was reading the story that when we, among other newspapers, would go to the hotels in our area and say, here, we'll deliver you X number of copies for you to give to your boarders, we would charge them. They're paying for it, but at a very low rate.
Right. I was thinking the same thing, and I remember when I was a Gannett paper, I worked for the Gannett chain, that we would try to have USA Today at the at the local hotels so that even if you weren't interested in Saratoga news, that maybe you'd still want to see the nation's newspaper.
Yeah, but the hotels were willing to pay for it because it was a perk. They were giving their customers a free newspaper.
Yeah, so in this case that I saw, the clerk was really tied up with visitors and then on the phone, so I didn't have a chance to ask that person, why do you have this newspaper here? And then I said to myself, am I also being like anti-First Amendment that I... and objecting to the right to have a newspaper on a...
They have an aggressive distribution strategy. I get this newspaper, the print version of it, delivered to my house once in a while.
Yeah,
we don't pay for it.
Yeah, they solicited me at my house.
They didn't solicit. They just sent it. And I've heard reports of across Canada, you know, where people complain that these papers are filling up newspaper boxes. I think the goal is to get this information out to as many people as they can.
It's a propaganda organ founded by Falun Gong, the religious group that's been banned in China. But it is the newspaper has been rated by this organization called Media Bias Fact Check as an extreme pro-Trump bias, and it also actually gave away $1.5 million in advertising to the Trump campaign.
Although you are allowed to do that if you believe that those are not things that are against the law, and we don't want our country to prevent that from happening. But that looks like a normal, regular, mainstream newspaper at first glance, the way it's laid out and the design of it, until you start to read the headlines and the stories. They promote the conspiracy theories, the QAnon theories, for instance.
About 20 years ago, I got a call from the editor of the Epoch Times saying, we would like to bring a team up to watch your operation at the Times Union. I think it's just because we were the nearest metropolitan newspaper to New York City, and probably the newsrooms down there would say, no, you can't come here. But anyway, so they brought in about a half dozen people who spent the whole day with us watching how we did things. And the editor explained to me, you know, most of the people at the Epoch Times have never worked at another newspaper. So they don't even know how you go about like an afternoon meeting where you decide what's going to go on the front page. And so I feel a little bit guilty at having
it's your fault. We've uncovered a scoop here on the media project.
A scoop, ladies and gentlemen, what can you do? But I think, you know, it's a valid concern that there's a First Amendment issue here. They of course have a right to exist, but I think that you have a right to say to your hotel, what are you doing by giving away this rag?
Yes, and that's what I would encourage people to do. A friend of mine the other day was saying, if we're upset about where the country is heading, you know, what should we be doing as citizens? And that's one example of if you're in a place where there's conspiracy newspapers being set aside for customers to say, why is this here? This shouldn't be here.
How about something else that people should be doing while we're here? This is a good time for New Year's resolutions. Would you say subscribe to your local newspaper?
Subscribe to your local newspaper. Give a gift subscription to someone in your life that you think should have a subscription to their local newspaper. Get more than one. It doesn't cost that much, especially the first of the year. There are a lot of deals out there, so you can get some quality reading.
Let's talk about paywalls next week.
Oh, boy. That's tough. But, you know, a digital subscription is not expensive. You know, a print subscription is. And a paywall is how you pay for reporters, right? I would say also give, of course, since we're here on a public radio station, I'd say give money to nonprofit newsrooms, including the one on this station that you're listening to, as well as fine nonprofit newsrooms around. You know, I, by way of disclosure, I'm affiliated as a board member with Adirondack Explorer and New York Focus, two fine nonprofit newsrooms. One serves the northern part of New York, and the other serves as investigative reporting statewide. I would say do that as well. Nonprofit work.
Yes, and no matter where you get your news, whether it's broadcast or digital or print or all any combination of the above, be a discerning reader. Just don't accept things. Question what you read. Just don't swallow it whole, because there's too many inaccurate sources of news out there.
All right. Those are good New Year's resolutions for us to end our first program of 2025 as this program moves on into, well, it's been three decades, moves into its fourth. And we're really grateful for your listenership through all of these years. Ira Fussfeld has been here. Barbara Lombardo, Judy Patrick, and I'm Rex Smith. We thank our producer, Dave Gustina. And we thank you all for joining us this week once again on The Media Project.
It's a mess meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. Like the richest girl who could not bake a cake. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling, ling-a-ling, ling. Now, newspapermen are such interesting people. They used to work like hell just for romance. But finally, the movie's notwithstanding.
The Media Project is a national production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio. This week's projectors include former Times Union editor and current Upstate American Substack columnist Rex Smith, Judy Patrick, vice president for editorial development for the New York Press Association and former editor of the Daily Gazette, Barbara Lombardo, adjunct professor at the University at Albany and former editor of the Saratogian, and Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld. You can listen to The Media Project anytime at WAMCpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm your producer, David Gustina. Thanks for listening.
Publishers are such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now, publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give three cheers for freedom of the press.